Well, in a central California city, over 100 kilometres, and in fact probably a world away from the wealth of San Francisco and Silicon Valley, 125 people are part of the grand experiment. For 2 years, participants in a first-of-its-kind program in Stockton were given $500 a month with no strings attached. This is a city, by the way, where 1 in 4 lives below the poverty line. And the results of an independent evaluation into this program are now in. The program's called the Stockton Economic Empowerment Demonstration, or SEED, and it shows how transformative a little economic security can be. Suki Samra is the director, and she joins us now from Stockton. Hi there.
Hey, how are you?
Good, thank you. Tell us a bit about Stockton. It sounds like there are some real challenges there.
Yeah, so Stockton, California is about a mid-sized city, about 315,000 people and counting, located in California's Central Valley. We're about an hour and a half away from San Francisco, about 50 minutes south of Sacramento. And it's historically a city that's really struggled. We were at one point the foreclosure capital of the nation, hit really hard by the 2009 recession. And we were the first big city before Detroit to declare bankruptcy. And even though things have gotten better in the past couple of years, it's still a city that's still struggling. Our child poverty rates are pretty high. Our unemployment rates are consistently higher than the statewide average, and our median household income is far below the state's. We have a median household income of about $40,000, whereas at the state, it's $60,000. So it's a city that's struggling with a whole host of issues, including poverty.
Yes, and when a city or a country is struggling economically, it makes it easy to say, well, we can't afford ideas like the one we're talking about today. But in fact, these factors you're discussing here, are they what makes Stockton a perfect place for a trial program?
Exactly. And we decided to pilot something like a guaranteed income exactly because we wanted to test something that was bold and innovative and could provide proof of concept for something that should be tested locally but scaled nationally.
So how did it get started, and what exactly is this SEED program?
Sure. So SEED, or the Stockton Economic Empowerment Demonstration, was America's first guaranteed income demonstration led by a mayor. So we launched by Mayor Michael Tubbs. We gave 125 randomly selected Stocktonians $500 per month for 24 months. The cash was unconditional with no strings attached and no work requirements.
Okay. And is it fair to say that for you and for Mayor Michael Tubbs, I should say the youngest mayor in the city's history, 29 years old, first African-American mayor, for the two of you, is this personal?
Yeah, I think for both of us, he's not around to share his story, but in terms of my own story, poverty is incredibly personal. I grew up in a two-parent household, but my mom was the only one who worked. My dad was disabled, and my mom was working multiple jobs just to make ends meet. When we were growing up, she worked full-time as a cashier at a gas station and part-time at Subway. And even though she was working two jobs, she was always struggling to get ahead, to have the sort of make sure that the foundation under her was solid. And this isn't because she wasn't working or she wasn't working hard enough. It's because she was working and it still wasn't enough because our economy is broken and our economy just isn't working for working people. And I know that if she had had $500 per month when we were growing up, our life would have been radically different. She would have been less stressed and less anxious. She would have had more time to spend with us at home. And for me, it's knowing that even though my mom's story is sort of tragic for us personally, it's not an anomaly. It's something that's very common in the United States. And so how do we use a guaranteed income to really disrupt patterns of poverty and make sure that our economy is working for everyone?
Might not have gotten off the ground if you'd used taxpayer money, right?
Yeah, that's accurate. So we were fully philanthropically funded. No taxpayer dollars were used. And that was really important back when we launched in 2017, because the idea still wasn't as popular and as familiar as it is now. The concept of a guaranteed income, when we announced in 2017, was still something that was really at the fringes, something that was primarily being discussed in tech circles as a solution to automation and to the robots that are coming. But for us, it was very much something, back in 2017, a tool for racial and gender equity, a tool for making sure that people had a solid income floor beneath them. Now, fast forward a couple of years, there are a couple of cities that are actually using taxpayer dollars, a couple of cities that are using federal relief dollars from the American Rescue Plan and the CARES Act before that. So the conversation and the momentum has definitely changed, but was a different story back in 2017.
Yeah, people may have come across universal basic income on this station or perhaps when Andrew Yang ran for president last year. You refer to a guaranteed income. What's the distinction between that and a UBI?
Yeah, so like you said, universal basic income and guaranteed income are two terms that are often used sort of interchangeably, and they're generally referring to the same host of cash policies in that it's unconditional cash that is given directly to individuals for sort of a certain period of time. Where they differ is one in the concept, primarily in the concept of universality. So universal basic income, as the name implies, is universal. It's meant to go to everyone, regardless of how much you're making. So Bill Gates would get it, and so would sort of the typical American family. Mm. A guaranteed income, on the other hand, is really, it's more targeted. It's not going to everyone. And it's oftentimes implemented with income thresholds so that you have to make under a certain amount to be eligible. For us at Marist for Guaranteed Income and at Seed, for it was really important to refer to what we were doing as a guaranteed income, because we really wanted to root ourselves in equity, and we also wanted to really root ourselves in the social justice history of the policy. Guaranteed income and the idea of giving people unconditional cash is, even though it was sort of popularized by the Andrew Yang campaign, actually has a long civil rights history. It was espoused by Dr. King as the simplest and most effective solution to poverty. It was included within the Black Panther Party 10-point program. And so we just want to be really intentional about rooting ourselves in the social justice history of the civil rights movement and the ways in which it's always been seen as a tool for racial equity.
Yeah, Martin Luther King Jr. said there's no racial justice without economic justice. Do you see this program as lying at sort of the intersection of these two giant issues?
Yeah, economic justice and racial justice are inextricably linked. You cannot have one without the other. And that's especially something that we've seen in the way that the pandemic has unfolded, in the compounding crises of not only the pandemic, but that sort of racism and white supremacy that exists in our policing institutions and our governing institutions, that was most recently manifested in the police involved shooting and murder today, as well as the George Floyd protest that we saw last summer. And that was actually the impetus behind Mayors for a Guaranteed Income, which kind of grew from Seed and the Stockton program, and is a coalition of over 40 mayors who are advocating for a guaranteed income. But it was founded specifically in response to the ways in which COVID-19 and police brutality were disproportionately impacting people of color, Black folks in particular, and that it wasn't just racism in isolation, but that racism has in turn led to economic exploitation. And so let's start addressing the root of both of those causes.
There was some pushback, predictably, against the idea when you first started. What were some of the criticisms you heard?
Yeah, and I think the criticisms that we got weren't anything new. They're criticism that's always hurled at the social safety net. It's criticism that's, again, rooted in racist tropes, rooted in sexist tropes. There was two big criticisms. One was that if you give people money, they're going to spend it on drugs and alcohol, as if poor people, as if, quote unquote, those people don't know how to spend their money properly. And that's just, I mean, our data just bear differently. When we gave people money, they spent it on the basics. They spent it on food, they spent it on utilities, and they spent it on rent and their bills and transportation. And then the second biggest criticism we got was that if you give people money, they're going to stop working. Again, rooted in this notion that poor people are lazy by their own choices, that poverty is a personal choice rather than a systemic choice. And again, the data just didn't bear out. What we saw instead in the data was that when you give people money, they work more and they transition to full-time employment if they can.
Yeah, you've hinted at it here, but after doing an independent analysis of the people who took part in Seed, what are some of the most striking findings?
Yeah, so we released our preliminary findings just a couple months ago, and what we saw was, one, in terms of spending data, the money was spent on the basics, overwhelmingly the biggest category month over month and over across the entire first year was food. About 40% of all purchases are on food. You have 25% on sales and merchandise, which includes places like Walmart, where a lot of people also buy food, 11% utilities, 10% auto care. We also saw that a guaranteed income was able to reduce income volatility. So we know in the United States that with the rise of the gig economy, decrease in worker protections, it's become really, really difficult for households to predict, low-income households in particular, to predict how much money is coming in on a month-over-month basis. And that fluctuation in income can be really disruptive. And so we wanted to see how does a guaranteed income help reduce that. And it with our treatment group, our treatment group saw a lot less income volatility than did those in the control group. Our third finding was around employment. As I sort of mentioned, people who received the guaranteed income were more likely to find full-time employment than those in the control group. At the start of the demonstration in February 2019, about 28% of those who are in our treatment group or those who are receiving the $500 per month were employed full-time. A year later, 40% of those folks were employed full-time. That's a 12% increase compared to only a 5% increase in the same period in the control group. And the third finding was around, or the final finding was around sort of emotional health and well-being. And what we saw was that guaranteed income had clinically significant and statistically significant effects on depression and anxiety and emotional well-being of our recipients. So at the start of the demonstration, nearly everyone in our treatment and control group sort of clinically classified as mentally unwell, as dealing with anxiety or depression. A year in, those in our treatment group were more likely to be well and less likely to be experiencing anxiety and depression than those in the control group. Those are our key findings that we have a year into the program.
Yeah, some fascinating stuff there. If you've just tuned in, I'm talking to Suki Samra about the Stockton Economic Empowerment Demonstration. It's a period of time where 125 people were given a guaranteed $500 a month in a poor city. And research was done into how they spent and what effects they had. The thing about employment is really interesting. It's as you say, there's that false belief that if people are given money that they will be lazy and be less likely to seek employment. For a start, that this tends to disprove that thesis, or at least suggest that it's not true. But also it perhaps suggests, and you know, I'm just reading my own inference into this, but that if you take care of the basics, people are more able to go and look for and find work.
And that's exactly what we saw in the data. So our research methodology allowed us to not only see the numbers, but also to sort of get to the why of why were there changes in employment. And when we were doing our interviews with folks, we found that it was because once you remove the drumbeat of financial insecurity, once you are no longer worried about where is the next dollar going to come from and you have a solid income floor beneath you, you free up the mental capacity to start thinking about other things. I mean, if you're experiencing economic insecurity and you're so worried about where your next dollar is going to come from, you typically don't have the bandwidth at the end of the day to envision a different future for yourselves. But once you remove that, once you provide an income floor and you give people the breathing room to finally just like relieve a little bit of stress, people start to imagine a better future for themselves. They see themselves as having more agency and more choice. And then that allows people to take a shot on themselves and to sort of pursue new opportunities for themselves.
Did you get the sense that the money gave a little bit more cushion to try for a better job?
Yeah, and we actually saw that with a couple of our recipients. And that kind of explains the transition from part-time to full-time employment is that, so we used the anecdote of one of our recipients, Tomas Vargas Jr., who at the beginning of SEED, he was employed, he was part-time employed, and then at a warehouse and distribution center, and then was working all types of odds and ends meet jobs. He was mowing lawns and fixing cars and serving as a carpenter, just doing everything he could to sort of patch up his monthly income together because his wife is disabled and doesn't work and he has two children. And so just doing everything he could and hustling all the time to make ends meet. Once he got the $500 per month and he actually trusted that the $500 per month was going to come as promised, he was able to sit back and reevaluate and assess what other types of jobs he wanted to apply to. And he was able to transition into full-time work and now actually works in his, what he calls his dream job. He's working as a youth mentor and case manager at a local nonprofit in town. And that, he says it all the time, it wouldn't have been possible if he hadn't been receiving the $500 per month, because not only did it allow him to envision himself in a different type of job, but it also allowed him to take time off of work. We know that for a lot of people who are in the gig economy, a lot of folks don't have the luxury of paid time off. They don't have the luxury of sort of being able to call in sick and know that their paycheck is still going to be the same amount in the same way that people who are more privileged and salaried do. And so he was able to miss a day of work and still have the $500 per month to rely on and then go interview for something else.
Yeah, so much of the interesting findings are in the data, but then also there are all these stories you've collected. Can you tell us a bit about Paradella?
Yeah, so Laureen Paradella, she's a single mom of two in Stockton, and she, similarly to Tomas, talks a lot about the ways in which receiving the $500 per month allowed her, she always was, but allowed her to feel like she was a better mom because she was finally able to get her kids some gifts, and she was finally sort of able to include that in her household budget. Whereas before, if she took her kids to the store, she wouldn't be able to have them sort of pick up anything for themselves. She was able to say yes to the toys and yes to the shoes and really reward them for being the children that they were, which allowed her to feel like a good mom. She was also able to sort of stop working her second job. She talks a lot about how having the $500 per month allowed her to sleep better at night and to just breathe easier because she wasn't constantly worried again about where the next dollar is going to come from. She knew that every month, at the very least, she had $500 per month to count on.
Far from spending it on drugs and alcohol, you actually found a lot of the participants used their money to help others too.
Exactly. Going back to Tomas, when the pandemic started and he had his job sort of, the job that he was working at the time laid him off, he started to volunteer in his community and was sending baked goods over to the local fire station and the essential workers. We have another recipient, Zane, who every month donates part of her $500 to her church. So we really see this ethos of sort of giving back. And again, just really, really pushing back on this persistent narrative that we have that if you give people money, they're going to waste it. That's, again, just not the case. Oftentimes, poor people just, it's not an issue of not being able to manage money. It's that there's no money to manage in the first place. And just having the $500 per month really allowed us to disrupt some of the myths that exist.
There's plenty more. We're out of time. What's your vision for where this goes now?
Our hope is really that this is a federal policy, that between Stockton and the pilots and the other pilots that are emerging across the country, that we're able to make a case to the Biden-Harris administration that this is something that needs to be implemented at the federal level, and that this is our century's expansion of the social safety net. Before us, we had unemployment insurance and Social Security. Now, this moment and this generation demands a guaranteed income.
Great work. Lovely to chat with you today. Thank you so much for your time. It's the Stockton Economic Empowerment Demonstration, or SEED, and I'm sure you'll hear more about it. I've been speaking to Suki Samra. Cheers, Suki.
Thank you.